going for the pastoral support fund. It is, pastors are actually on their yearly retreat right now, so just remember them this morning. Children may also come forward with their coins for My Coins Count. And I just want to put in another quick plug for Sunday School. This morning we were studying some of the parables of Jesus, and we studied the parable of the Good Samaritan as to he helped someone that he saw that was in need. And so this next song is kind of, maybe not a regular worship song, but it's one that talks about seeing the need and the hurting people that are around us. Look down from the broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touch down the heart of the flood, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock and confusion. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I can see. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the broken heart, ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl that harmonizes me, does her best to smile at me, hide what's underneath. There's a man just to our right, like a certain bright bedtime, too ashamed to tell his wife, he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere, why have I ever cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the broken heart, ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your arms for the hearts of God. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah.
Just their needs, Father. And I just thank you for the way you have given them leadership, the way you have allowed them to guide us with a faith. And I just pray, Father, that this would just bless them. In your name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we continue to worship. More of you.
Father, we just thank you that we are yours, that no matter our feelings or what we go through here on earth, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus died for us. And just thank you so much for that, and just that we can depend on you every day, and that you will not disappoint. God, I just lift Brian to you now as he brings your word. Just fill him with what you would have him to say. Just pray your blessing on him. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, the kids can come front for a kids' message. Well, good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
Do you guys remember what animal I like?
Cow.
Oh, you are getting to know it now. I apologize if I keep doing this here. I won't keep going back to a cow. I'll pick another animal after a while, but I do love cows. So this morning, we're going to kind of incorporate cows with the message, with what Brian is, where'd he go? Over there he is. What Brian is saying. This morning, the message that Brian's bringing has to do with health. And so, one of the greatest things that your parents keep telling you is, as far as what you eat, what do your parents tell you to eat?
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal? Mm-hmm. That's good for you. What? Chicken Alfredo, you betcha. That might too much of that might be the wrong thing. But anyhow, that will help.
Fruit.
There, yes. Your parents, I'm sure, if I would sit down with each one of them, they would say that they stress for you guys to eat your fruit and veggies, right? And that is because that helps keep you healthy. Now, let's back up a little bit here. How many of you here know how a cow produces milk? How does she produce milk?
With a tube in it, and they attach it to the
mushroom. Yeah, that's how we can get milk from a cow is put a milker claw on her, and then the milk goes right into a bulk tank. But the cow herself, do you know how she produces the milk? Well, to make a long, long story very, very short, I'm going to tell you how, okay? So, you feed a cow a special diet. She gets certain things, and that goes into her stomach, into her rumen, and that all is being digested, and there's little bugs that are in there. Ooh, right? But there's little bugs in there, and those little bugs eat the very, very small particles after the cow breaks it down, and those bugs only live for a little bit. And then they die off, and they go into the udder for milk. And those bugs are producing constantly. So that cow has to be eating a special diet all the time. If she just eats chocolate, what do you think happens? Huh? Chocolate milk? No, I'm sorry. She would get an upset stomach, and she wouldn't produce much milk because she's only getting sugars. There, that's how you get chocolate milk, yes. So a cow needs a special diet in order for her to produce milk, good milk. And when she's not being fed a healthy diet, she doesn't produce much, she doesn't feel good. So you guys, if you guys would only eat candy all the time, which is what you love to do, right? Or just eat junk food, chips, and how many of you just sit around and eat chips and... Okay, that's good. At least you're honest. So that would not give you health. It would make you feel funny and just not good. But there's one other thing that we need to do to help us feel healthy and stay healthy, and that is not what we eat, but it's something we do. And in the Bible, it talks about this. In Galatians, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So what that is saying is for us to stay emotionally healthy, we should be showing kindness to others, forgiving others, showing patience. Do you know how to show patience? Or do you need things right now? I know. So, what I'm hoping you get out of this morning is that you guys, in order to show the fruits of the Spirit, which is a health thing for us in our minds, is to be able to show love to people, show joy to people, and be able to do all the fruits of the Spirit. So thank you for listening, and what kind of candy do I always bring, you remember? Okay. Do you just want a snack? All right, just stay sitting, I'll get it. And then once you get your candy, then you can go back to your parents. Or you can run around the church and run the energy off.
Okay, well, good morning. As Rick had just mentioned, we are going to talk about health this morning. So, yeah, you can just leave that up there, that's fine. We'll get there, but I want you to think just for 1 second, when you hear the word health, what's the first thing that pops in your head? Just think for that for 1 second. You hear the word health, usually any word just brings something to mind. And I thought about that briefly, and the first thing that I think of is just being healthy. That is your physical and your mental health. And then recently, well, I shouldn't say recently, but spiritual health is a close second behind that physical and mental health. And our physical health is very important. I mean, when your body isn't working correctly, things don't work very well. So your mental health is also very important. If you're in a bad place mentally, you really don't care about your physical health, and everything starts to go downhill. But when you're in a good place spiritually, when you actually have a good relationship with God, that puts you in a good place mentally, which helps you physically. Does that mean you will have perfect health? No, it doesn't mean anything will be perfect. What it does mean is now you actually have a reason to try. When you are focused on God, He makes your mind clearer, and He helps you understand what you actually need. And that gives you a purpose. It gives you a reason to actually try. And that helps you, that just helps you be in a better place. It helps you be in a good place in every area of your life. What that honestly means is, we just need to keep trying to grow closer to God. We need that relationship with Him. To be healthy, you need to be well in every area of your life. Now, this up here, what this is 8 dimensions of well-being. I found this on the internet. I was just looking up well-being. This is what I found. There is this, 8 different areas of life. If you look at the top of this wheel, it says environmental. I want you to understand that that isn't just the air you breathe, the beautiful flowers and trees around you, but it's also the things and people that surround you. So, do you live in a hostile environment or a calm and peaceful environment or just somewhere else completely? And I want you to understand that everywhere you go is a different environment. Whether you are at work or school, that's one environment. If you're at home, that's another environment. You go to a restaurant, you come to church, go to a friend's house, a park, a store, wherever you go, they're all different. They make you feel different, and you act different. The eight parts of your well-being are environmental, intellectual, spiritual, financial, social, physical, emotional, and occupational. If one of these things gets thrown out of whack, it will affect the rest of them. Think about this. This is just one brief example. If you have a bad day at work, I'm pretty sure you're all familiar with that. I mean, maybe. Have one bad day at work, chances are that will affect how you think about your job. Then on the drive home, you might just start to think about a new job, which makes you start thinking about finances. That makes you a little more stressed out, a little more anxious. Your emotions become a little bit of a mess. When you get home, you affect that environment at your house. And then either you barely eat or you eat as much as you possibly can and you don't say a whole lot to anybody. That's one brief example of a day. That's not much. That's just one example of a day. But that affected, maybe I should actually have this thing out here and turn it on. That affected, hopefully I can do it right too, and we'll be good to go. Environmental, spiritual, financial, social. I believe that's occupational, but I'm not positive. But then, yeah, emotional, there's occupational. So it affects, that affected right there. That affected seven out of the eight things. I left out intellectual, but it's probably in there somewhere too. But hopefully you get the idea. What I'm trying to say here is it doesn't take much to mess up your entire well-being. So if you don't have a reason to actually try, why bother? If you have a good relationship with God, He will give you a reason for you to try. He gives you a purpose. The other problem that we have is it's very easy to say things. I should take a walk. I should eat better. I should play with my kids. I should do more at church. I should. And we all do this in some way. We think it in our head, but to do the action itself isn't easy. I want you to look at this. This is 1 Corinthians 9:24. This is Paul says, "Do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run that you may obtain it." So I want you to think about this. When you run a race, and I know most of you are thinking what I thought when I read this, yeah, when's the last time I ran a race? Like, yeah. But think about this. When you run a race, whether it's been 30, 40 years or yesterday, whatever it's been, do you run it to, or I should say it differently, when you run it, are you chasing or trying to catch up to that person in front of you and worried about that person behind you? Or are you trying to reach the finish line? That's the question. When you do something, are you trying to do it better than that person? Or are you trying to do it the best that you can? For example, if you go on a diet, is it because you want to look better or you want to look good to everyone around you and better than that person over there? Or because you have health concerns like lowering your cholesterol, lowering your blood pressure, maybe you just want to be healthier? Wanting to be healthier for whatever reason is a goal. That's a finish line. You may never reach that finish line, but you have a reason or a purpose to try. And trying will make you feel content as long as you're honestly trying. When you're doing something to look good to others or to be better than someone else, you don't have a goal. You don't have a finish line. You will never feel content, and there will always be someone better than you. You just saw me playing bass this morning. I started playing bass when I was like 13. And all that I wanted to do was be better than everybody else. Every time I listen to a band, I bet I can play better than he can. Or we go out and play shows, and I see this guy playing bass. I need to practice more. I can be better than him. And I was always comparing myself to the other bass players, whoever they were, guy on a radio, till I would hear somebody that I'd be like, okay, never mind. I'm not ever going to be as good as him, but I can try. But there was, I started to realize in life in general, there was this unspoken competition in everything I was doing, where it was just, if I could do it good, then I could probably do it better than everybody else. And start having these, other people didn't know they were in the competition, but I knew, and you have this unspoken competition. I'm guessing you're familiar with that. You just kind of feel like you should do better. That you won't finish, you won't reach a finish line if you're always trying to do better than everyone else. But if you do it the best you can, that's the main thing. Think about that. That will give you a goal. Now I lost my place completely. What was I talking about? But when you are doing something to look good to others or be better than someone else, as I just said, you don't have that goal. You don't have that finish line, which means you'll never be content. And that messes up your well-being. But when you have a reason and a purpose, you have something you are trying to do, you will have some peace and well-being. So understand, there are things we need and things we want. If we get what we need and we are completely satisfied, then we'll be fine. And that's easy, right? You get what you need, you're completely satisfied, no problems. Yeah, right. We always want more. There is always that little bit, I know I got just exactly what I needed, but it'd be nice to have just a little bit more. I want to look, if you have it, look up Numbers. We're going to go to chapter 11, and it would be verse 31. Yeah, Numbers 11:31. What it says here is, now a wind went over from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It scattered them up to 2 cubits. I just want you to understand that 2 cubits, as my Bible says it, is about 3 feet. So this wind came, drove quail into the camp, and it scattered them 3 feet deep all around the camp as far as a day's walk in all direction. That's a lot of quail, okay? All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than, what my Bible says, is 1¾ tons of quail. Then they spread them out all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he struck them with a severe plague. You read that, you can read that and go, wow, man, why would God even bother giving them the quail if he's just going to give them a plague anyway? The first thing I want you to understand is this is during the time in the wilderness, while when God was giving them manna. There was manna literally coming from heaven out of the sky. There was bread falling out of the sky for the Israelites to eat. That wasn't quite enough. They needed quail. So they had what they needed, but that wasn't what they wanted. I personally am guessing they just got kind of bored with bread every day. I could see how that would get kind of boring, but they already had what they needed. And it is very easy to look at this verse and say, can't they just accept what God gives them? Do we accept what God gives to us? Think about how many health issues we have because of what we eat and drink. God gave us water, but that's boring. So we need soda, iced tea, lemonade, and many other drinks with tons of sugar in them. God gave us fruits and veggies, but that's not enough. We need everything else we can possibly fry up and eat. Also, when the Israelites gathered the manna, it was enough for that day. Just that one day. They gathered what they needed, and then on the day before the Sabbath, they would gather enough for 2 days so they didn't have to go out and get it on the Sabbath. But they had only what they needed. If we ate in small amounts, that would make a humongous difference. Trust me, I know all about eating way more than you need to. I'm pretty familiar with that. But it's all about what God has given you. And only as much as you need. Not what we want or as much as we want. Now, Jesus says this in Matthew. He says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. So the food that you eat does not affect you spiritually. But the words you say, the words you speak, the things you say do. But food, again, food does affect you physically. So the next question is, whose table do you eat off of? Do you eat off the king's table? Or do you eat off of God's table? Now I want you to turn to Daniel. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 1, and if you're anything like me, I can't ever find Daniel for some reason. If it helps you, it's right after Ezekiel. I don't know if that'll help you, but I always have a hard time with Daniel. So we're going to look at chapter 1, and just to give you an idea of what's going on here, this is the time of the exile. They are in Babylon at this point. King Nebuchadnezzar gets one of his chief officials to go out, and he wants him to gather some young Israelites that are from a royal family and nobility. So I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. This is what the king asked for. He wants young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Now, if you just jump down to verse 8, it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. And God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then he says, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to do this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So, do we simply take what we are given? Or do we use discernment and find out where it's coming from? And obviously, I hope you realize, I'm not just talking about food. In this world, we face things of every moment of the day that will affect our spiritual lives. That is, in a good way and in a bad way. Do we treat this life like it is just the king's smorgasbord and we put our faces in the dishes and never look back? Or do we actually stop, pray about it, ask God for help and guidance, and then realize that feeling that we're getting from whatever it is? If God puts something in your life and you stop and pray about it, you will feel fine. You will feel peace. If Satan puts something in your life and you stop and pray about it, you'll just feel uneasy about it. But if you want something bad enough, you'll just ignore that uneasy feeling, and you'll do it anyway. But usually, things will fall apart after we choose to do that. This is just an example. Say you're going to buy a new car. Everything inside of you says, get that great-looking sports car with all those new features and speed. That would be awesome. But you know you can't afford it. And there's just something inside of you that doesn't feel quite right. And that's that uneasy feeling. If you ignore that, you'll probably be in debt for the next 10 years while you're trying to find the right job and just feeling anxious and stressed out. Or maybe you have a bad accident a year after you buy it, but something will happen that it just doesn't work out the way you want it to. But if you buy that so-so car that's in your price range, then you'll be at peace with it. Everything that has to do with the car, it'll work out the way it needs to. So when you make the wrong choice, your well-being will fall apart, which causes life to be much more difficult, and then you have an even harder time making those healthy choices. Then you get caught in a circle of being unhealthy, making bad choices, and the only thing that happened was that you did what you wanted instead of what you needed. You stopped paying attention to God and did it your own way. Now, all that you need to do is turn back to God, admit you were wrong, and ask for help. And what you're doing right there is this. By doing what the first commandment says, have no gods before me, simply put, is put me first in your life. Give God your attention. Focus on him. Then you will feel a purpose and a reason, which will give you a good will, well-being. When you're focused on God and what he wants you to do, you will have peace within you, and you will feel content because you are not focused on what everybody else is doing, how they're doing it, or what they think you should be doing. You're listening to God and following him. At that point, Satan stops laughing, and he just does whatever he can to make things tough. But what I want you to do now is think about this, the race that Paul is talking about. Think about that race as a bicycle race. Whatever your kind of bike you like, a mountain bike, maybe one of those banana seat bikes with like thrilly, but however, maybe it's a motorcycle. Whatever it is, think of that race as a bike. And think about God as having his hand on the back seat, the back of the seat of that bike, and on the handlebars. And all you're doing is pedaling. He's got it all under control, and all you need to do is keep pedaling. God will do everything else if, and this is a big if you allow him to do it. We push his hands off the handlebars and try to do it ourselves all the time. The biggest fights we have are with God. We feel like we can do it. Get your hands off the handlebars. I got this under control. I'll do it. Just pedal. All that pedaling is that trying to get things accomplished, having that purpose and going for it. You will fall off your bike. It happens. That's how you learn how to ride a bike. You fall off. All that you have to do is turn back to God and ask for help. He'll put you back on the bike. When you turn back to him, you just allow him to steer while you just pedal. You will always go through hard times. That's life. But you are God's child, and he will protect you. So focus on God. Listen to him. Shut out this whole world. Have well-being. And finish the race. So let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning and we just ask you, guide us. Show us the way. We take our hands off the steering wheel. We are just pedaling. We are just moving forward. You show us what we need to be doing. We are your children. As much as we try, as much as we want to do things our way, teach us how to do it your way. Teach us how to give up on ourselves so that we're just following you and doing things the way you want us. You show us, you guide us, you direct us, Father. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And very quickly, I just want to make one quick announcement. In your bulletin, it says next week is the Unity of Faith prayer time. That actually starts at 7 o'clock. But if you have a chance, please come out. I think we're going to have some people from Terry Hill joining us. It should be a really great time. Come out and pray, and that'll be at St. John's Center as well. So I invite the worship team to come back up, and let's have some fun.
Just once we believe in Jesus.
Stand for the last song, so you all know what it is. Now, this is a song that we sing every night at the end of Flowing Waters. But as you sing this song this morning, I want you to remember one thing. This past Tuesday night, we gave the option or threw it out if there was anyone that wanted to accept Christ or rededicate their lives. And we had two people rededicate their lives to Jesus Christ this past Tuesday night. The one person has been out of rehab now for Tuesday night. It was 74 days. She has been drug free. The other girl, she has been in Philly for the last number of months. She was brought back home to her place, and she is about 3 weeks clean. She would have been doing drugs right on the streets, and she told us the experience that she had in Philly. So I just want to say, as you sing this song, each one of you standing here has something to give, and that is the name of Jesus, and it gives life. And I just praise God for these two individuals, and I just ask you as a congregation, I won't mention names, but just lift them up. God knows who they are. Just continue to pray for them, that He can continue to give them strength. So as we sing this last song, we're singing it to God and thanking Him.
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Thanks to the name of the Lord. Soul, sing up the well, and make me whole, sing up the well.
just give a quick prayer before I do the benediction. For the youth group is coming home from Camp Deer Park. They're traveling. I'm not sure if they're on the road yet, but I would assume soon. And the pastoral team will be coming home from their weekend retreat also. So I want to just quick lift both of them up for safety, and then I'll give a benediction. So, Father, I do thank you for the youth group that you have here at Bowmansville. I pray and ask for each individual who is along. I pray that in some way, somehow, you spoke to them. I just ask for protection as they're traveling home on these busy roads. Just be with them, give them alertness, the drivers, and awareness of what's going on around them. Father, we also just lift up the pastoral team as they were away for the weekend and figuring out how to guide and lead us. Father, I just pray that you gave them great discernment. I pray that the future is a life-giving future, and I just pray that you give them safety as they travel home, that you would bring them safely home. In your name we pray, amen. So one of the things I was thinking of is the benediction, and this might not be right, but I don't do things right anyhow. So I want you to remember the past. Go back to your past and remember how faithful God is. Just the other week, I was going through some very rough times, and I looked back in my life, and I kept remembering how faithful God was. God is the only one that can give you a peace, and he's the only one that can satisfy you. So I just leave you with this week, if you go through things or anything in life, look in your past and see how God is faithful, and that he will show that he is true every time. Go in peace. Thank you.